Well, this morning we're going to be looking at what makes us afraid. And this is a slightly different question than what are we afraid of, which is what I was thinking of first of all, but asking what makes us afraid lets us look at things from a couple of different angles. Because first of all, there are the things that make us afraid. Bears, mice, the dark. If you're Elijah, weird pagan queens that want to kill you. If you're living in Calgary, flooding. All kinds of things make us afraid. Some of them are obviously real. Some of them are things that it's okay to be afraid of. It's okay to be afraid of bears if you're walking around where they are. Not so sure it's okay to be afraid the same way of the dark, something that most of us grow through. But we're afraid of things, and knowing what they are is a useful exercise. Sometimes what we're afraid of isn't a thing in that way, but more the loss of something. We might be afraid that a friend is drifting away, or we're not close any longer. There are all kinds of things. And there are some people who tell you that you should never be afraid, and that's just kind of silly. Fear is something that's built into us, and it's a good thing when it's used properly. But when we look at what makes us afraid from a different perspective, we're looking at it not so much from what is the thing that makes us afraid, but almost why are we afraid? What makes us afraid of bears? Well, that they might eat us. That's a pretty sensible fear. What makes us afraid of the dark? Well, hardly anybody's afraid of the dark just because they can't see. People who are afraid of the dark are afraid of what's there that they can't see. The problem, of course, is that there's nothing there that they can't see when the lights are on. It's a different kind of fear. It's a fear that can be addressed in a different way. It's no less real. But we can attack, if you will, the fear of the dark by talking about what actually is. People who are afraid of snakes, for example, and I'm not talking about just being careful to find out whether the snake you see is poisonous or not poisonous. I'm talking about people who are afraid of snakes. They've seen thousands of more snakes than any of us have. Because every time they see a stick, they think they see a snake at first. The hose in the grass might be a snake. And they see all of these things that turn out to not be snakes. So the fear is still there, and what makes them afraid has made them afraid, but then it doesn't make them afraid any longer. Why not? Well, because now it's a stick. When they first saw it, they thought it was a snake, and they authentically thought it was a snake. They're not making this up. But when we know what actually is, often that reduces our fear and sometimes makes it go away entirely. And for those of you who have helped someone work through their fear of the dark, that's probably the direction you took. That's what most of us do. When one of our children is afraid of the dark, we tell them that, well, what's in your room in the dark is exactly what's in your room when the lights are on. And so maybe before you turn the lights off, you and the child, you go and you look under the bed and you look in the closet, you look in all the places that there can be anything, and you say, well, when the lights are off, this is all that's here. And that begins the process. Hardly ever happens just the first time you ever try this. But it begins the process of them becoming less afraid of the dark. Because what's made them afraid isn't what is there, but what they think is there. What's made them afraid is the fact that they're no longer confident that what they saw before the lights went off is all that's there. They think something else is there, and often they can't even tell you what they think else is there. It's like people who are afraid of flying. Often they're not afraid that the airplane will just fall out of the sky. They don't even know what they're afraid of, but they're afraid of something. Well, the Bible has some things to tell us about fear. It has some things to talk to us about on what makes us afraid. And it doesn't tell us that the things that make us afraid are unimportant or trivial or don't really exist. Elijah was afraid that Jezebel was going to have him killed because she could very easily have him killed. She'd had lots of people killed. This wasn't an idle threat. So what made him afraid was real. He wasn't afraid of nothing. When we look into our story in Luke, it's interesting what makes the people afraid here. They're afraid of the power of God. Not because it wasn't real, but because Jesus had demonstrated in an unmistakable way, taking someone who was possessed of an evil spirit, evil spirits in fact, and turning him into a responsible member of society, and that frightened them. But what do we do with fear? What do we do with what makes us afraid? Well, if we're afraid of something that actually exists, pretending it doesn't won't make it go away. If you're afraid, you're living in Canmore right now, and you're afraid your house will be flooded, hoping that it won't, pretending that the flood doesn't really exist, won't help you much. When we're afraid of real things, they continue to be real. But what makes us afraid of them? Well, we're afraid of them because of what they're going to do. The thing is that we don't know they're going to do that. Most of what we're afraid of never happens. Most of what we worry about never happens. Think about it yourself. Think back over your life in a moment or two. Think of the things you've been afraid of when you were young, when you were not young, whenever it is, and think of how many of them never happened. Fear was still there. The possibility was still there. I'm not talking about irrational fears. I'm talking about being afraid. Perhaps you were afraid that your initiative of friendship, your overture of friendship to someone would be rebuffed for no better reason than you just thought it would. But it wasn't. And now all these years later, you still have that friendship. We rise above fear in much the same way that children rise above their fear of the dark. When we start looking at what really is, we're not afraid of the dark unless we think something is going to happen that can't happen with the lights on. And we're less likely to be afraid if we put our confidence where it belongs. If we put our confidence in God, in the God who makes no distinction between anyone. One of the most extraordinary things you will read anywhere in the Bible is what was read for us this morning out of Galatians, where God says, "You are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." And this is the most astonishing part, that there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We identify ourselves on the basis of who we're like and who we're not like. Our distinctiveness is part of what we are. And what God is telling us is that when it comes to a relationship with Him through Jesus, there's no difference between any of us. And if that isn't a miracle, I don't know what is. No matter how hard we try to live in a society of equality, we know how hard that is to make happen. All those isms, racism and sexism, ageism, any other ism you can think of that helps us see that no, we're not the same. God says you are the same. Every single one of you is as loved by God as every other single one of you. God looks at us all the same. And that's the God that we put our confidence in. That's the God who is so far beyond us that He's a different quality altogether. I'm not telling you anything new with that, but maybe we haven't thought of it this way. It is virtually, if not literally, impossible for us to look at all people with the eyes of equality. It's a divine attribute. And when we look at people dealing with fear, when we see what it is that makes us afraid, when we look in Scripture and see the people who have been frightened by things, real or not real, it doesn't matter, we see their fear goes away when they remind themselves the reality of God. When they take their confidence from themselves, from their own abilities, or lack of abilities, whatever it might be, and put their confidence back where it belongs, on God. Our measuring stick, the one that we insist on using, is always too small. It's too short. We see that in children, where whatever is happening that's bad is going to be going on forever. You say, no, it's just the dentist. It's just a quiz. It's just whatever it is. From our experience, we can look at these things and say, no, they're not that long. They're not that bad. Things will work out. And that's what we do as parents. Sometimes we aren't exactly truthful. Came across that as somebody provocatively making the case about parenting, saying that the way we comfort our children is by lying to them. Made me read the article, I can't imagine why. And it's because when our children are worried, we say everything will be okay. Well, how can we say that? We don't know everything, we're not God. But we say it anyway, and why do we say it? Because it restores our children's confidence that we will care for them. When our children are okay with us being there for them, when that's the bedrock of their being, if you will, they are less likely to be afraid of the dark. Because whatever is there, whatever that might be, is something that their parents can handle because they just told them they could. We have the same opportunity with God. We will be afraid. Things will make us afraid. That's just the way it is. But if we want to remove that fear from us, if we want to go from someone who is terrified of something, we need to address it. We can't just stop being afraid. It doesn't work. We need to replace it with something else. For example, to go back to talk about friendship. You've made these overtures of friendship. You have now been friends for a long time, but you haven't talked to each other for a while. If you're afraid you're drifting apart, one of the first things you do is you think, well, wait a second, are we really? What have we shared together? And you go back and you rehearse what you've experienced with this friend and the commitments you've made to each other, the things that you've shared, and you realize that no, we're probably not drifting apart, we're probably just busy. We haven't had a chance to chat lately. If you're afraid that you're drifting apart and you're terrified that this person is turning their back on you, you may not even try to contact them. But when you look at what is rather than what you think is, you get a bit more confidence, enough perhaps, hopefully, to call them and to realize that no, you're not drifting apart. You both have lives to keep you busy. You can't speak to each other as often as you did before because things have come up, whatever it might be. Most of the things that we're afraid of never happen. We worry about things that could happen but don't. If we want to move forward, if we want to move away from the things that make us afraid, we need to replace that fear with something else. And the thing that the Bible tells us to replace it with is our trust in God. If you live in Canmore, if you live in High River, as friends of mine do, if you live in Calgary, where I'm sure we all know someone touched by what's going on in southern Alberta, pretending you're not afraid of the flood won't work. Placing your confidence in a God who has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Placing your confidence in a God who said, no matter what happens, I will be there with you. I won't put anything into your life that you cannot manage with me. Allows you to not be afraid, even if the thing that made you afraid hasn't changed at all. Elijah was afraid because he forgot the power of God. We can forget that too. It's easy enough to do. We can forget all kinds of things. But when we realize that something has made us afraid, whatever it might be, rather than running away from it, rather than pretending that we're not afraid when we in fact are, we're so much better off by rehearsing all of those times that God has proved himself faithful to us, to the people we know, to this community of faith, to all of those in church history, through scripture. We look at those and we say, no, I have confidence in the future and in God. Because he loves me. We're loved enough that we have no distinction. That we're not loved more because we're smarter or wealthier or whatever, or even less. You're all loved. And with that love comes confidence for the future. It comes from someone who will come alongside us and say, it will be okay. And actually be able to mean that. The things that make us afraid will continue to be there. But we don't have to be afraid of those things. The fact that something has made you afraid doesn't mean you have to stay there. The stick that made you afraid that it was a snake doesn't have to stay a snake when you know it's a stick. And the things that make us afraid don't have to continue to make us afraid when we put our confidence where it belongs. And a God who loves us will be with us always. Amen. Let us pray.